Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we are in a series right now called The Greatest Commandment. This is session two. Session one's available online if you want to check that out. It's on our YouTube page. Session two I've entitled God's First and Greatest Desire. And I want to talk a little bit about that word desire for a moment. The things that we most want in life, the things that we love, chocolate cake. I mean, the things that we just have hankering for, cravings for, that we desire. It's more than we want it. There's something in us. Either our spirit or our mouth starts watering. You know, I mean, we're just like, oh, I want that. I desire that. A deep desire. What I find to be the most attractive part of who God is, the part about who God is that is the most intriguing, is that his deepest desire, the thing that he wants the most, God wants something. The thing that he wants the most is you to love him. That is such a different version of God than how many people view God. That is such a very different picture that God, you know, if he were to wake up in the morning, it doesn't exactly work that way, but when God wakes up in the morning, if you will, the first thing in his mind is, oh, I hope they love me today. I want them to love me. I want their love. And this is who God is. This is what he's like. This is the nature of God. So I want to talk a little bit about that concept, first and greatest, for a second. Let's read that verse out of Matthew 22, 36 through 38, if we can get that one up there. I just love this screen. This is so great. It's so big. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, oh, I got this one. I know this one. Without even thinking. It just immediately, he just, yes, God, I was waiting for this one. Love the Lord. That's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Love him with your heart. Heart love to God. Love him with all your soul. Figure out in your soul how to get your soul to love God. That's what he wants. This is the greatest commandment. This is what you're commanded to do. Love God with your soul. With your mind. Your brain, your thoughts. Love him with your mind. This is the greatest commandment. I'm so glad you asked. The greatest commandment is that you would love God with your mind. This is what he wants. This is the first and the greatest commandment. First and greatest. Talking about the desires of God, the thought processes of God, the way that God thinks about people. You would think that God's greatest desire would be that we would do stuff for him, or we would stop doing stuff. But his greatest desire, the thing that he matters about, he's like, this is it. This is why I made you. This is what it means to be a human and to do humanity right, to be a good human. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the commandment. He says this is first and greatest. He wants us to love him first. Now this is interesting. He's looking for those that would love him like this. He wants this from us. It's his first commandment. It's first and greatest. So think about that. God who is infinite, who's wise, who's a builder, who's a father, who's everything. He's everything. What is first and foremost on his mind? The first thing on his mind is that you would love him. This is just so crazy that this is the religion we're in. We're in a religion of love, a love religion, where the one in charge, his first priority is that we would love him. Look at this. We looked at this verse, I think, in maybe last session. We'll probably look at it again, but 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. People may be looking at your outward circumstances, maybe looking at your life. The Lord is going a far deeper look. He's giving a layer deeper. He's looking at your heart. What's going on in there? Maybe it's bad on the outside and bad in the heart. Well, fix the heart and the outside will fix itself. But he says, listen, I don't look at you the way that people do. I don't look at your life. I don't look at your decisions. I don't look at your responses, the fruit in your life. I don't see it the same way that everybody else does because I have the ability to see straight to the first and greatest commandment in you. I have a way to pierce through everything and identify truly is what they're doing, first and greatest commandment. Regardless of what it looks like to everybody else. He's looking for this. It's his priority. He is in pursuit of those that will love him this way. He's thinking this way. He wants pure and simple devotion. He loves it. It's his first priority. I love that it's first to God. You know, you can err on a lot of things if you're just good at the first thing. If you can have a lot wrong with you if you're just good at the only thing that really matters. The problem is we so often put the first and greatest commandment somewhere down the list and not first in our life. We make it second or tenth. But if we'll just get our priorities aligned with God's priorities, because he says this is his first and his greatest desire, well, then we're going to be okay. It's his first priority. Look at the Mark account, Mark 12, 29 through 30. Jesus asked the same question, but this is Mark, writing the way that he heard it. Said Jesus answered, the most important one is this. The most important one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. It's the most important one. It's most important in life. I don't know about you. There's a lot about life that doesn't make a lot of sense to me right now. There's a lot. And I want to know the truth. I want to know how do I align myself with the things that matter the absolute most. And you can get life real simple here. You can make life very succinct and make a lot of sense and be very simple if we just pay attention to what Jesus, giving commentary on the Father, said this is the most important thing. Your life, if you want to know what your life is about, whether you know this or not, your life is about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what your life, your entire existence is supposed to be about. Well, I thought I was supposed to get a job and get family and get this and get that. All that can happen or might not. It's immaterial, really. It's a pass or fail on this point. Did you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because he said, this is the single most important thing. It's the thing that is most important to God and therefore most important to us, or at least it should be. It's what's most important. This is so simple. Like, I can do this. If I don't have to memorize 500 things, and I can just memorize one thing, just love God. I mean, this is like dummy proof. This was made for me, okay? Love God. That's the most important thing Sunday the 22nd or 23rd, whatever day it is today. That's what's most important. It's what's most important in 2020. It's what's most important in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 90s. Loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is the most important thing, thus saith the Lord. That's what he said. That's what God said. This is Jesus telling us. I mean, he's giving us the answers to the entire test. The whole test can be wrapped up in the most important thing. Look at it this way. The greatest commandment. There's a bunch of others. You get a 99 on the test if you do this one right. And then everything else makes up 1%. So you can be like horrible at everything else. See, because here's what happens. As you learn to pursue the greatest commandment as your greatest priority, it changes you. And these other things become effortless almost. It becomes so much easier to follow the Lord in all the ways that he wants when we've got our focus on him. But a really bad way to do right is to focus on that wrong thing you're doing. I mean, that's really not the best way to overcome that. But if you focus on him and his love and loving him and making whatever it is in your life trying to be an outflow, an expression of love to him, because we're to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it actually becomes so much easier. We got the priorities backwards. We got things upside down. This is his greatest desire, and it's first. And when it's our first priority, things work. Putting love for Jesus means that he is our priority related to the order in which things get our attention in life. I'll say that again. Loving Jesus, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, putting love for Jesus first, loving God first, means he is the priority related to what gets our attention and in what order those things get our attention. Well, I've got all these responsibilities. Listen, those responsibilities might come and go. They might all burn. But you are going to be assessed on the greatest commandment. Not only that, your whole life is wrapped up in the greatest commandment, whether you know it or not, because it's the way that you were knit together by God. So when we're not really focused on the greatest commandment, we feel out of sync with life. We feel out of sync in relationships. We feel aimless in our objectives, in our calling, because you can't do the secondary things well if you've got the first thing totally off your picture. The first and greatest commandment is to be our priority. It's to take precedence over our time, over what gets our attention, over where we put our investments of our energy and our relationships and our love, our time. This is truly his primary concern. He wants us to love him. When I think about God who created all things, and I try to put myself in that position for a second to just try to figure out, what would that even feel like to have been the one that did it all? I mean, no pride. For real, you did it all. You did everything. And for you to then, after having done everything, still want something, still be concerned about something, still trying to provoke a response in your created order. And that response being that they would turn around and love me with their life. This is truly his concern. It's really what he's thinking about mostly. He's not mostly thinking about, they didn't do this thing right. I can't believe them. They're, messing up in this area. What he's mostly thinking is, where's love? Are they loving me in this area? Is this person giving themselves to me in love? It's mostly what he's desiring. It's mostly what he's thinking. I just want to tell you, if we can shift our mindset and get that in our processing, if we can be perceiving God, perceiving life, perceiving Tuesdays through the lens of love, I'm going to try to make my life about loving God. It's what he's thinking about for me and from me, what he's looking for, what he's desiring from me. And it's also what my life is to be about. This really simplifies things. I think we've made it too complicated. We have made life so complicated, so complex. And as a result of complicating life, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength is on a long list of things we're trying to do. And it is not the list itself. For so many of us, it's on the list. We think about it. I mean, we kind of know that verse is in there, but we've not thought about it and gone, my life purpose is to love God with all. The reason I'm alive and not dead is to love God. Whether there's a pandemic or no pandemic, I'm supposed to love God. Whether there's a this or that, my entire life is about loving God. Now, I've got family and responsibilities and a job, but that's not who I am. Those are playing fields to practice loving God. Those are opportunities. Those are on-ramps. Those are avenues. Those are fields to express love for God. But that's not my life. My life isn't that I'm a pastor or that I'm a dad. My life is that I'm a son of God called to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, all that I have. And we can get that little thought process shift. I'm telling you, it changes everything. This changes everything. When we really get this perspective shift, that my job is not about a job, my life is not my own, my family is not even my purpose in life. My purpose is to be good at loving God. So how do I figure out how to love God? Oh, the Lord can use my family to help me figure that out. The Lord can use my job. The Lord can use this situation. But the real purpose is that I love him. And whether I invest 10 years, or however I invest 10 years, wherever those energies go, at the end of 10 years or 20 or a lifetime, the real question isn't what did you build, what did you get, what did you accomplish? It's how much did you love? How well did you do the greatest commandment? It's greatest, it's first, it's his desire. How well did you do it? And if you're like, can we just forget the last 10 years and start over? Absolutely. Start today. Just push delete on the last 10 years. Start over. Start today, but don't wait another 10. Let's not have this conversation in 2030. And you go, can we delete the last 10 years again? It's like, friend, you're not listening. You're not paying attention here. Let's learn the lesson. You're going to be assessed. Your life, the total sum of your life and your investment is all about what God says is the first and the greatest priority. And if you're great at 100 other things, but you're not great at the greatest commandment, you've missed it. You've missed it. This is what matters most, and I also hope you're good at a hobby. I also hope that you're a good mom. I also hope that you did your job well. But that's not who you are. This is who you are. This is what you're about. This is your destiny. And it just so happens it's stinking fun. It just so happens it is the most life-giving, it's the best. It just so happens that the thing that God thinks is the best for you is actually a blessing and not a curse. It just so happens that he's that smart, that he knew how to make a human. He knew how to wire you. He knew how to train your heart, and he knew what was going to cause your heart to leap and to respond. He knew what would cause your heart to shut down and get weighted down and be anxious. He knew all that. He made it so simple. He's like, listen, if you never learn to talk, you never learn to walk, you never learn to mock. I hope we all don't learn to mock. Pray, Lord, just take that one out. If you never learn anything, but you learn how to love God, you did it. You were a good human. You pulled it off. You gave God what he was most after. I mean, if you were never good for nothing, you never accomplished a thing. You never did this. You never got that. You never got any awards or promotions. None of that matters. Those are lies we've been told. That's not God's first priority. His first priority is, did you love me with all your heart? I did, Lord. But I didn't ever get this in life. This thing never happened for me. I never saw this come to fruition like I wanted it. I was never really good at this, at that. And God's like, I don't care. I made you that way. I just wanted you the way I made you to be good at loving me, because no one else can love me the way you do. No one else can give me that love. I made you the way I made you. And believe me, I know you. I know all about you. I look at the heart. I see it all. Good and bad and ugly. I see it all. And I like it. I made it on purpose. I made you the way I made you on purpose. Now love me the way I made you. With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is life. I mean, this really does get pretty simple, doesn't it? When we look at life this way, like, well, I'm going to keep doing the stuff I'm supposed to do, but I'm not going to think of that stuff as what life is about. I'm not going to think of all of that as, like, my meaning, my purpose. You know what your purpose is? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you can do that. You are equipped to do this. You may not be equipped to be good at football or welding, or whatever else. You might be terrible at all such things. You have been equipped to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It would be cruel of God to say it's most important, but to have built you unable to do that. You have been equipped to give God what God wants. You may not be able to give you what you want. You may not be able to give the world what the world wants, but you can give God what God wants. God's first and greatest desire is you loving him. He thinks about it all the time. Lord, what do you think about me right now? Are you mostly thinking about that sin I just committed? Nope. Mostly I'm thinking about you loving me. Where are we at on that conversation? Yeah, but I did the thing. Well, quit doing the thing and love me. Well, let's not talk about the thing. Repent of the thing, be done with the thing, and now love me. That's what I'm mostly thinking about. You can be good at this. You can be good at the greatest commandment. He equipped you for this. This is why you were born. You were born to love God. God made man that man might turn around and love God back. Oh, this is life. So let's not get confused by 2020 or 2021. I don't know that we're set up here for a great 2021 either. So let's just see how things go here. But I mean, things might stay the same or get worse. That's okay. That's okay. Let's just be good at loving God. Let's be good at loving God. I love his commitment to us in this. Think about this. You know, as a leader, as a manager, whatever sphere of life that looks like, at home with the kids, trying to get them to not burn the house down, you're managing. You're managing that they would not burn down your home. That's management, okay? Whether you're in the marketplace and you're overseeing one person or a project, or whether you're a ministry leader or a small group leader, whatever your place in life is related to management, it's really interesting that the primary thought process of a manager would be, can we just do some loving today? Let's love. Shouldn't we like get something done? Well, I mean, yeah, if that happens, cool, but can we love? Love me today. This is commitment, because you only have so much energy. You only have so many thoughts. You only have so much bandwidth. You only have so much capability. It seems kind of like a productivity waste to give most of the energy to love. Like, shouldn't we be doing something? It's a commitment that God has made to us. This is profound. It says it this way, 1 John 4:19. I skipped a verse or two. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. He first loved us, so now we have the power to love him back. This goes back to the you can be good at the greatest commandment. We love, we have the power to love because the love that we have within us did not come from us. And now we're empowered to love him back in a way that so far surpasses our own ability to love. And then he says, yeah, I gave this to you. This is my commitment to you. I didn't just say, I made you, now you love me. I gave you my love, which empowers you to love me back. We love him because he first loved us. We're able to love him because his love is in us. Who is forgiven much loves much. It's the love of God within us that gives us the ability to love him back. So let me tell you, meditating on how much God loves you will help you love him. Meditating on how much God loves you will help you live well, will help you do the greatest commandment, will help you understand him. We'll look at it in a later session, but God is love. So to meditate on love is to meditate on him. The true love, not fake versions that are all around. True love, Bible love. To meditate on love empowers you to be able to love him back. This is God's first priority as the manager of the universe. That you, not mankind, let's get personal, because mankind's just made up of yous. It's all yous. You. God's first priority is that you would love him today. This year, this lifetime, it's his first priority for you. Let's talk about the kingdom for a second. The primary characteristic of the kingdom of God, the way that the kingdom of God operates, is love. It's the primary way that God decided to orchestrate his kingdom. Just thinking, you know, go into one of those, you know, medieval movies, kind of get the picture in your head. And you got the king and he's ruling his kingdom. And there's the big castle and, you know, they've got a plan for the kingdom. And you go up to the king and you go, Mr. King, what is your most important characteristic for this kingdom? It's a good kingdom. It's good looking. Got a good-looking kingdom here. What's your most important primary characteristic that you run and operate this kingdom? Love. I love love, and I love to be loved, and I love it when you love. Excuse me? You're the king. I was asking about the kingdom, like how we're supposed to do the kingdom, like keep the bad guys out, keep the good guys in, that kind of stuff. You know how to keep the economy going? Love. I just want you to love. Boy, I did that yesterday. Do some more today. Do double. Double love today. More love. The way you run your kingdom is love. That's not how you run a kingdom. He said, well, you didn't create the whole universe. I can run a kingdom any way I want. And my way is right. You've come up with far too inferior forms of running a kingdom. Because the way I run my kingdom is on love. It's the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment of his kingdom is that we would love him. He's a king. So this doesn't just go into him being a father. It also is him as a king running a kingdom. The greatest commandment for the subjects of the kingdom is that we would love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the way the kingdom operates. It's the way to get the kingdom done. It's the way to get the purposes of God done in a generation is that the subjects of the kingdom would learn to love the king. This is how he runs it. It's the kingdom of love. Look at these verses. James 2:5 and then Colossians 1:13. They say similarly, it's a kingdom for those who love him. And it's a kingdom established for the son that he loves. Look at this. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? Is it the kingdom he promised to those who prayed a prayer? The kingdom he promised to those who checked Christian on their, you know, ID card? No, has nothing to do with any of that. It's a promised kingdom that those that love him will inherit. It's the kingdom of love. It's the kingdom for those that love him. It's a kingdom that's destined, designed, it's formatted, it's for those that will love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what the kingdom's for. The kingdom to be inherited by those that love him. Colossians, Paul says it this way. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Glad we're not there anymore. I remember being there. And I remember all the dark thoughts and dark moments and dark days and dark desires. I remember the kingdom of darkness, the dominion of darkness. He says he brought us out of that. What's he brought us into? The kingdom of the son he loves. I've been brought into the kingdom. No, you've been brought into the kingdom of love. The kingdom of the son that he loves. The kingdom of the son who is the one that communicated to us the priority system of God is that we would love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the kingdom. I like this kingdom. I can deal with this. I'm really not that smart. I'm really not good at most stuff, you know. Like, I love that I can be a part of a kingdom where it's like, if you just love God, you're doing it. Well, I can do that. That's the point. We can all do that. That's the only thing we can all do. We can't all jump high. We can't all do maths. I'm not good at maths. We can't. We can all love him with all our hearts and mind and strength. This is the one universal reality, and it's the basis of his kingdom. It's the kingdom of love. This is the kingdom that we're a part of. This communicates his priority system. What kind of kingdom is it? Is it a kingdom of, you know, totalitarian dictatorship? Is it a kingdom of anger and resentment? Is it a kingdom of, you know, of conquest? It's a kingdom of love. The king who could form the kingdom in any way that he wanted has chosen to form the kingdom around the principle of love. It's the primary characteristic of the kingdom of God, love. This is why when we're not operating in love, we feel icky. Because we're out of balance. It's why that we carry it. Even if our pride is saying, say this, do this, it's why in our soul something feels off. Because we're not loving him with all our soul. Because we're operating in something outside of love. When we're operating in something outside of love, the kingdom of love kind of feels a little foreign. It's why we don't want to talk to people. It's why we don't want to come to church. It's why we don't want to do a lot of things, because we're operating in something that isn't the priority of the kingdom. Love. It's powerful. You know, love is the only thing that remains forever. It's the priority of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 13:3. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But if you want to know what is most important, what is most kingdom priority, it's love. It's the greatest. It's the greatest commandment. It's the greatest operating principle. It's the greatest component of the kingdom. It's greatest. It's greatest. This is the way that the kingdom operates. I'm just telling you, look, if you're trying to figure out where do you pour your energy in the rest of 2020 and as we head into the new year, where do you invest? Invest in the thing that is identified clearly, repeatedly as the most important thing in the whole Bible, love. To love God. And then out of the overflow of that, love people. Don't love people first or you'll mess up loving people and loving God. Love God first. Invest in the greatest commandment. It's greatest. There it is. The greatest of these. It's the greatest. These three remain. But the greatest of the three is love. It's the operating principle of the kingdom. It's also the thing that will be the rewarded the most for. You remember when Jesus was asked, what's most important? What's the greatest kingdom principle? What's the greatest commandment? Without a blink, he answered immediately, love the Lord. This is it. Look at this verse in Matthew 16, verse 27. You guys probably know this verse for other reasons, but let's talk about the thought process of standing before the Lord at the end of the age. Let's talk about eternal rewards, okay? Because eternal rewards are very real. What we do in this life does matter in the age to come. It absolutely does. Jesus said this, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Now that applies to a lot of things, but you know what it applies to the most? The thing that's the most important. The thing that's the greatest importance. Loving the Lord your God. It's actually the way that God is operating this age, giving us a view of the age to come, promising us rewards in the age to come. Rewards when the Son of Man comes, when Jesus appears. He says he's going to reward according to what people have done. Done what? I'll tell you, related to the greatest commandment will be the single greatest reward. How well did you do with the thing I said I cared the most about? Well, I was doing this other thing. I did pretty good on the thing that was like number 700 on the list. Why are we even having this conversation, man? I told you to do number one. Do number one. And to the degree you do number one, you will be rewarded forever. You will be rewarded forever. To the degree that you are great at the greatest commandment, you will be rewarded forever. This is how he runs his kingdom. It's the primary reward for the primary thing. This is the way that he operates his government. This is what being a Christian is. This is what it means to be saved. This is what it means to be alive in Christ. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. How could we follow Jesus but disregard the thing he said? Bottom line is the single most important thing he has to say. I'm a follower of Jesus, but don't much care about the greatest commandment. What planet are you on, man? Where did you come from? Who taught you? Someone dropped you. Because that is not right. The most important thing is that we would love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the priority of heaven. And let me tell you what I desire. I want this. I want to say it. I want you to hear it. I want you to think about it. I want you to kindly challenge it. I want you to replicate it. Let me tell you what I want. I want to create a ministry context that provokes people to do the greatest commandment all their days. That does the greatest commandment well. I want to create a ministry context. I want you to create a ministry context in your family, in your small group, in your work environments. Let's create a ministry context where it's good, it's easy, it's enjoyable, desirable, it's being pursued, that we would pursue loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't think you could do any better. Related to your influence, I'm confident you could do no better. Related to your influence, whatever influence you have in one life, in 100 lives, whatever influence you have, create a context that helps them love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, to be good at it, to be rewarded for it, to be encouraged to do it, to be discouraged to live the other way. Discouraged instead of applauded. Let's create ministry contexts where there's a safe environment to grow in greatest. The greatest commandment, to be good at it and spur one another on. Encourage one another. I'm going to help you grow. You're going to help me grow. By God, we're going to love God. To grow in the greatest commandment. And that would be the primary purpose of ministry. It would be the primary purpose of our lives. It would be the primary purpose of where we invest our energy and what we do with our time. I'm going to give you just a couple of thoughts here. And then we'll end. Identifying how is it greatest. I've said it's greatest probably 72 times, maybe 720 times. But how? How is it greatest? It's of most importance to God. That's one way that it's greatest. We read that verse in Mark, the most important one, Jesus answered. So one of the ways that it's the greatest commandment is it's most important to God. Just think about that. Next, it's the greatest way to move God's heart. No way to move God's heart more than love. Faith would be second. Faith would require, would be required in the equation because you have to believe that God's there to love. But he doesn't want you to just believe that he's there. He wants you to love him, which faith is a prerequisite. Just look at this, 2 Chronicles 16, 9. He's searching for this. It's most important because it's the thing that will move his heart the most. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Hearts are fully committed. Not just like consciences, not just like their inner decrees and you know things that they've said for the Lord, their vows. It says that their hearts are fully committed. That sounds like greatest commandment. He says his eyes are looking across the planet. He's looking happily, excitedly, anticipatingly. He's looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I am telling you, one of the ways that the greatest commandment is greatest is there's no greater way to move God's heart. I want to move his heart. I don't want to just make it through however many decades I get. I don't want to get a pass fail on my credit card, or on my report card. I want to get a well done, and even more than that, I want to see him smile and say, "You moved me. You moved me." Not five times in your life, 5 million times. Your life moved me. You took seriously the thing I said to take seriously. And I am moved by your heart's response. That's what I want said. Don't you? I mean, isn't that what you want too? I mean, whatever else you want, don't you want that more? Doesn't that just sound beautiful? Doesn't that sound like a beautiful way to live? It consequentially has the greatest impact, not only on his heart, but on our hearts. Look at Ephesians 3:19. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. The only way to be filled to the full measure of God's purposes, the only way to have our hearts fully experiencing life is to know this love. It's to know this love. You can't just have heard about it. You got to walk in it. It's living reality. But as you have the living reality of walking out the greatest commandment, you are full and brimming over. You're indestructible. What could be taken from you? The only thing you really care about is loving God, and nobody can touch that. To know this love that surpasses knowledge. I love that line. It surpasses everything you've ever heard of. It surpasses sense. It surpasses understanding, all knowledge. It surpasses it. And to know this love equals the fullness of God in you. The full measure of his purposes in your life. Your heart alive, awakened. You being all the you can be. I want that. It's the greatest way to live. This is the way to live your best life now, I promise you. To love God, to make your life about loving God. Now here's the trip up. Worship team, you can come on up. Here's the difficulty. Let me give you the hard part here. This is the greatest way to live. To live a life focused on loving God with all our hearts and mind and strength. The problem is, it makes a great sermon, but it is very easy to get distracted from this one thing. I mean, you've said yourself, you've heard this message before. Maybe even 2 weeks ago. You were all on board. 14 days have passed. Oh, dear Lord, help us. 14 days have passed. I have become altogether distracted once again. This is the kind of thing, you can't hear a message. You got to make it a life calling. This isn't the kind of thing you're like, oh, we'll do this for a minute. You've got to decide, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. I am going to be a greatest commandment guy or gal all my days. This is what I'm about. Everything else can stick it. I'm going to be somebody that loves God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when I find myself distracted and straying, I'm getting back to purpose and function. I'm getting back to first. And it's going to happen again. I'm going to get back to first. I know my plumb line. I'm going to wander. I'm going to have things happen, distract. I'm going to get back to first. I'm going to make my life about the first and the greatest commandment. Because it's what makes my heart most alive. Because it's what moves his heart. Because it's why I was born. I was not born to be a preacher. I was born to love God. You were born and equipped to love God. But life will get you off course again and again and again. So you actually have to make your primary purpose pursuing the greatest commandment. Because otherwise, it will only dip into your life here and there. And it will not be your primary role. It will not be the thing you operate in. It will not be your day-to-day reality, the sustained thing in your life, unless you decide that it will be and everything else will flow from it. So I want to encourage you today, in this time of response, ask him for grace to make the greatest commandment for real the thing you're going to be about the rest of your days, no matter what else happens.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.